Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. And I am joined, as always, by producer Joel.
Hello.
There he is. How's your lockdown in the last couple of days?
Very much the same.
Yeah, been running?
Yeah. I've been running a lot.
You love a bit of running.
I've been running my fingers through my hair because it's getting pretty long.
Is it?
Are you worried about the hair situation?
No, no one's seeing me.
It's true. It's
not an issue.
You've not got any sort of personal pride?
I was just about to say, I've bought a beard. I haven't brought a beard. I've grown a beard.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah. It's a good one, actually. I think I'm just going to keep it growing and see how long it gets.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm clean shaving quite a lot, probably more than I normally would, just to try and, you know, feel something.
Yeah, I had a joke before about beards. Do you want to hear it? It's not a good one. It wouldn't be in my set. I've got this. I'll do it naturally, actually, like we're doing it in a conversation, Joel. Oh, I've grown a beard, Joel.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about it, but it's growing on me. Ah, no, buggered that up. Buggered it up. Shouldn't say growing a beard in the first bit. I've got a beard, Joel. No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about it, but it's growing on me.
Good.
Yeah, there you go. Like that.
Yeah. Little joke for you everyone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hope everyone's lockdown's going okay and you're all staying healthy and staying inside. Is that good, Joel?
It was good.
I'll try my best.
That was like listening to the daily press briefing from the government then.
So, Joel, shall we just get cracking? Have you got any comedy news?
No, my phone just let me know that The Vicar of Dibley is now available on Netflix, so that's some pretty big comedy news there.
You know what? I was never a big fan of The Vicar of Dibley, mate.
No?
No. Not.
What didn't you like about it?
No, it wasn't nothing against it. It just wasn't something that I sort of was drawn to, as it were.
Not enough karate in it for you.
Yeah. Why is it? What's that got to do with karate?
That's what you like, isn't it? That's what you like.
Well, it's taekwondo, actually, if you...
Yeah.
Do you want to hear my joke from this week that did very well on Twitter?
I do. I think I retweeted it.
Yeah, I think you bloody did, mate. Maybe that was the secret to its success.
Well, I didn't want to bring it up, but...
So I said...
You're standing on the shoulders of giants.
So it was after the Queen's speech. I said, it was nice to see the Queen. Forgotten what she looked like as I don't have money anymore.
Great.
There we go.
I think that should have got thousands and thousands of retweets,
Well, he didn't, Joel.
What is it about you that stops people retweeting?
There's one man that I think people are social distancing from my tweeting. I think I made that joke before, but I think it might be correct. There's one man replied, Daniel Goodyear. Do you want to hear what he replied to that joke?
I do.
Loads of jobs going at the supermarket! !! All right, chill out, mate. It's just a joke.
Why did he call you !!
I don't know, Joel. There we go. That's a bit of fun, isn't it?
It's a bit of fun.
This episode, we have got a bloody cracking guest. Guess who it is, Joel?
Oh, I've got no idea, and I've edited it.
It's Tom Allen!
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Hashtag awooga, everybody. I hope you enjoy this.
We are recording.
Lovely stuff.
Lovely. Oh, brilliant.
Nice one. Oh, that was like clockwork, mate.
Yeah, brill. Brill. Like when they do a clap on filming.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I had a joke about that. What was that? Something about I wanted to watch something about it's a good start, can't remember. Something to do with something about a film with action in it. But I prefer it when the director isn't talking. Or something, but it never worked. It never worked.
You're very funny though, Mark. You're always so funny.
Keep that in, Joel. Keep that in.
Keep that in, for sure.
Just keep that in. I'm happy with that, actually. If you've got stuff to do, Tom. So how's lockdown?
It's okay, thank you. I'm sort of trying to settle into a bit of a routine with it. So I like that. I'm trying to be productive and trying to find some time to do some writing and stuff. But it's... I seem to sort of find it's quite frantic, actually. It's quite full on a lot of the time, but it's...
That's good.
That's good, I suppose. I don't know if it's me just sort of dithering and... I don't know. Or kind of, you know, like, I try and get things done before six so that I can have an evening.
Nice.
But it's sort of weird because I don't have... I'm living with my mum and dad, as I often mention. and so I'm... It's kind of a different setup in that I am, they are very generous to me and everything, but they, but I don't have my own telly or anything. So it's sort of a bit.
You got your laptop though. No one uses a telly these days, do they?
Maybe not. Maybe you're right.
So do you normally, when you write, do you normally do it at home or do you go somewhere? Because I struggle to write at home. So I'm trying to work out how to do it. Just to get in that zone.
It is difficult. I think treat it lightly. I think to make it as playful as possible is the way to do it. I mean, I'm saying that I haven't been terribly productive yet.
No, but you've been productive in the sense you're busy.
Yeah.
I'm productive in the sense I've got loads of podcasts I've done. But as far as writing, I've written quite a few coronavirus jokes. But that is
good. Oh, well, that's good. That's good.
It's hard to get my sort of mind on it, I think. Anything else other than that?
Well, yeah. But it's, yeah, I mean, exactly. And I feel like people want to talk about it. And it's ways of processing it, isn't it? So,
yeah. So you were due to, so Edinburgh Festival's cancelled. Were you going up?
No.
So you weren't going anyway. So that doesn't bother you.
Yeah. So that's fine. I feel very sad for people who are looking forward to going, but I think
everyone's going to be slightly relieved. They might not say it.
That was always my feeling about Edinburgh. That's I didn't like to appear callous because I know some people do really love it, but
yeah, a year off's good with anything.
Yeah.
I think.
What did you say?
I don't know. What was I saying? A year off is good.
A year off is good. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
I think. Were you writing a new show or have you,
yes,
what have you been doing?
So I've got to write a new show because I've toured my last one and I want to, yeah, I've got to write a new show. And I think, you know, you change, don't you? Move on. You're in a different place mentally with your life. And so, you know, it's very it's it feels very very prescient to write a new show. But what I find, I don't know if you think this is true, Mark, but however experienced I am, when I go back to writing new material, I go back to being exactly as I was at the very beginning. I don't know if there's like a place where other people are like, oh yeah, that's funny, I'll definitely put that in. I'm like, oh God, I got nothing.
So you have to preview a lot, do you? Do you do a lot of new material now?
I do. I like to preview where I sort of am sort of riffing a bit on stage. But, you know, and just trusting that there'll be something in there. Just keep talking until there's something comes out, really.
So I'm guessing you've got loads of stuff that you dropped then already.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think you think I'm a much more industrious person than I am, or a much more organised person than I actually am. Some people are like, yeah, I love writing it. I love writing comedy. I'm great. And I'm always like, no, what am I doing? People don't want to listen to me. What have I got to say? And then I have to find, you know, you sort of find, I think people like listening to a comic who knows themselves and is being truly honest. Like, you can't fudge it, can you? You can't go, oh, yeah, well, I really feel it. And it's like, you've got to, what do you actually feel? Like, what do you actually, and that takes, that's the bit that I think takes time and relaxing and
I mean, trusting. You're talking to the wrong person.
Well,
like, I, there is no feeling in what I do in the slightest.
But you, I feel like we get to know you. Do you
Yeah. In the way I do it, I suppose. But not in the actual jokes, I don't think.
Yeah, well, I mean, sure. But I know what you mean, but still.
So how far through were you with writing the new one?
Oh, not very
up to this point. It's very fresh.
I just finished working on the Bake Off Professionals show that I love doing.
Oh, cool.
And then I did that. And then I got to go... and then I was supposed to be going on holiday. And then that got cancelled. And then I've been indoors ever since. So I was sort of waiting to the end of that to have some time. But so that's what I'm hoping to kind of structure into my day, a bit more writing, even if it is just stream of consciousness writing. Or,
yeah, is that what you do?
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, you think you know what you think, but you don't. Like, does that make sense? Like, you think you know your attitude towards whatever, garden furniture, but actually you've got to sometimes know, you've got to work out yourself. Or you go to write about garden furniture and then you go, oh, I seem to be really zoning in on washing lines. And then you end up doing a thing about washing lines. And
have you got a bit about washing lines?
I am going to have one after this. some people have got the rotisserie ones. Some people have got the line ones. What's better?
I haven't even got one.
What? And some people haven't even got one. What do you use? Just a radiator?
No, one of those things. I guess a clothes horse. Yeah, clothes horse.
My mum always calls it an aerer. An aerer.
Oh, yeah. That would be better. It doesn't look anything like a horse. Why do they call it a clothes horse?
See, this is the sort of thing I'm looking forward to.
Oh, this is gold, mate.
What? Have you ever noticed? you wouldn't put clothes on a horse, would you? Try putting a jumper on a horse.
Buckaroo.
It'd be like buckaroo drying. Of damp clothes. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. I think your show is writing itself, mate.
Buckaroo. Buckle up. Yeah, great.
So with the last tour, tell us some bits that you dropped for whatever reason.
So some bits I dropped. I used to have a bit about talking about going to Pizza Express.
Oh, was that linked at all to Andrew? Or was that before that?
Was it linked to what? Sorry,
Prince Andrew.
No, before that.
Okay,
I'm not as topical as that. And having a voucher in Pizza Express. And I liked doing it, but actually it just sort of felt like a bit cumbersome in the middle of the second half of my show.
Right.
After the interval. You realise actually the audience wants you to get on with the stories you're telling, I found, and not transgress, is that the right expression?
I reckon.
Into...
I don't
not
know.
To wander off into like stories about... Like when you went to Pizza Express, like, what? No, give me something that's like powerful that you feel, definitely. Not like, Pizza Express. Like, they want a strong feeling. That's what I think, anyway.
So did the bit work as a bit?
Yeah, but just not as. Cause for me, so much of what I do is about the attitude.
Mm. So
if I don't really, if I sort of mildly feel something, it's. I think the audience don't mind it. But they don't go, oh, yeah, I know where I stand with this guy. I think that's my sense anyway. Maybe I'm wrong.
What was the bit?
I said about how straight people love going to Pizza Express and you can't go to Pizza Express without a voucher. And I did sort of a reenactment of some people getting the voucher out or walking into Pizza Express, which I like, enjoy doing. I always enjoy any kind of act out. But it was... It's interesting, I think. I still feel like any kind of like act out, you need to earn it a bit, you know? Like you need to kind of build the audience they need to be in a place where they're like, all right, what? Come on, act it out for me then. You know you want to. But you can't do that, go, oh, think about Pizza Express. I mean, I didn't do this, but like you can't go like, oh, Pizza Express, blah, and then go into a reenactment. Do you know what I mean?
No, well, I don't do any act outs at all. That's something that I wish I could do. Because you hit the joke, and then you continue it with the act out.
Oh yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and then you sort of I mean, it's just a bit of silliness, isn't it? It's always just a bit of silliness.
Yeah.
It's a bit of embellishment, really. And I suppose you've got to be. I think for me as well, it was a bit of the story which wasn't going anywhere. Particularly, wasn't like leading to a big point. It was sort of almost like a bridging piece of material. It was just here's an idea.
But once you've got the full show written, you don't need it.
You don't really need that. I found.
Yeah. So that's a bit that, like, you didn't mind getting rid of. Have you ever had like bits that you sort of you really like, but the audience just didn't agree?
I would say that I didn't like, and sorry, say that again.
No, that you did like, that you're like, why is that not working?
Oh, yes. What did I have that was like that? I had an observation about something. And for me, I think just observing something, people are like, yeah, you notice stuff, great. hand dryers. I tried to.
So you think that they just don't buy that from you? They just don't want that. They want to know what you think about something.
Yeah. So I couldn't go. I feel like other people have probably done it by now. Right. Anyway, this was a few years ago, like 8 years ago. And maybe someone had already done it by this point. I don't know. Maybe McIntyre's already done it. You know, it's one of those things I didn't sort of. But talking about hand dryers and the different ones, and I'm sure they're probably done to death. But I thought it was quite nuanced. But unless it's like I was in a rush and I needed to use the hand dryer, people aren't like, oh, tell me you're kind of like blathering on about a hand dryer. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's got to have a purpose to it.
Yeah. So would you do that? Would you change a bit so it's more related to you?
I tend to now. And if it doesn't fit anywhere, then I tend to just lose it. And then sometimes I forget about someone and go, oh, I forgot about that bit. But I get a bit impatient as well. I get a bit dismissed. I'm like, I'll get rid of it. That's fine. Just get rid of it.
That's nice. Yeah. Like, to have that many bits that you can do that. Because with one-liners, it's like you're a slave over them and like you just want as many as you possibly can that work nicely. But with the hand dryers bit, that's quite nice. If something happens in the room where someone disturbs a bit and comes in from the toilet or something, you could lead into that bit quite naturally just that to fill nice. The time till they sort nice. Of sit down.
Yeah, that is nice. But yeah, I think it's I try and write as much as I can, and I tend to do it quite live, so I don't write it down. Some people like love to write down their set and have it like on a clipboard or something, but I'm so bad at writing anything down, I just forget.
Do you record it then? So that
I record
it
as voice memos, but that's very temperamental, isn't it? Like, it could.
Or do you ever actually listen back to them?
And that's the thing. I need to be in the process of writing, and then I allow myself it. But like other people, more sensible people, who the sort of people who probably did their homework on Friday nights, are always like having a bit of material they're working on. It was like, oh, that's a thing, or that's a thing. Whereas I tend to go, right, that's written. Now that's the show. Now I'll take that on tour. And I suppose it's. But again, it's a sort of imposter syndrome I still carry with me of going, no, I don't. I don't deserve to be on stage. What am I doing?
Really?
Yeah. But, and I guess that's part of who I am, and that's part of it. But you know.
Yeah. Have you ever had bits that, like, because you're very likable on stage?
Stop it.
And I, as I know you as a person, I know it's all fake.
Of course.
But, do you write bits that like is, that the audience don't like? It's too much for them. Like coming from you. Like, have you ever had bits like that?
Go on, such as.
Well, something that may be too rude or topic-wise too dark, or do you not even really go there initially?
I never really go there, and anything political I've ever done, I try and keep it quite loose because I never think people want to hear me pontificate on politics. For me, what I try to remember what I like to watch, and I like to watch people who describe their experience of the world rather than, for me, this is just my personal taste, rather than their opinion on you know, they're sizing up of the of political events. But then some people really like that, and sometimes you can do it. But I think I have to do it again. I have to make sure it's from my perspective. I'm not somebody who's who people look to for their political insight. So I think if I start going about on about like think about blah blah is think about you know and they're like why are you talking about that? We don't come to you for that.
Have you always been that way? So when you started, you always had that kind of stance, or did you try different sort of styles? And then
no, I've always had the same stance. I like stories, and I like telling stories from my own perspective. The only times I've sort of tried to veer into it, I remember doing a show just after the Brexit vote in 2016, and I just sort of mentioned it, and they were like, no. And I think that was because audiences were like, we've come out just to have a nice time. And I think they didn't want to hear it. They were getting it so much and proceeded to get so much about it.
That is going to be the exact same thing with coronavirus once we go back gigging.
Yeah, people will not want to hear about it, will they?
No, because I sometimes at the end of shows, I do a thing where I just put out, give me a topic, and I'll do a joke about it. It's just sort of fresh, sort of changes the sort of...
It's so clever, Mark. It's so clever. Yes.
Well, I'm not saying it works every time.
Doesn't matter, it's so clever.
But quite often someone would shout Brexit.
Oh, right, yeah, I
and
bet.
The whole audience just went, like that.
Funny, yeah, I bet.
So I just said, I think you should leave, and that used to get a laugh.
Oh, so good.
And then I'd be back into it. So it took me a couple of times, them saying Brexit, for me to get that. But that's what I tend to do. If I have a topic that I haven't got anything on, I'll just go away and think, right, I need something for that now. My goal is to be invincible, Tom.
Well, but you're so that's what I mean. You're one of those comics who's so diligent. Like, you do the that sort of thing. Whereas I go, oh God, what would I, if someone says that, I mean, and I try and sort of trust that actually I'll, I found that riffing in a room, if I trust myself to do it, I mean, I like doing it with any kind of audience interaction. And I don't feel threatened by anybody shouting something out, you know, something negative or whatever. I just sort of, I know I should have, maybe I should trust myself to write a joke about say Brexit or about.
Well, but then you use, so you could just use your personality, whatever they throw at you, can't you? Like that's like, I find that I need a go-to eventually. I've never really been able to just keep riffing. Even if I talk, so when I started doing, I used to do more comparing than anything, which has really helped me now because I'm a lot more confident talking to the audience.
Yeah.
But if I was going into talking to them about anything, I'd know I've got a joke that I could loosely link to whatever I start talking about in case it goes like tits up.
Ah, yeah.
Do you start your shows like that? Do you do like a warm up?
I tend to do some jokes and then I sort of say hello to them a bit just to sort of set up the evening. And to bring them in, because I think is so special about stand-up is that it is obviously a live experience, and it can only, that show will only happen that one time with those people in the room, with that atmosphere, with that combination on that day in that place. It would only happen that one time, and it will never happen again. Even though the material might go, you know, will go elsewhere, and those people might go to a bingo night in the hall the next week or something, but then it won't be the same. So I try and kind of, I don't overtly say, but I try and have that in the experience of it.
I think that's why I do the ask for a topic.
Yeah, right.
Because whatever happens, they have the opportunity to create something that won't happen anywhere else.
Yeah.
So I've had some really obscure things.
Oh, have you?
Shouted at me. Animals. Oh, really? I like shouting about animals, but I don't really have many jokes about animals.
Penguins.
Penguins. But that's all right, because penguins have a joke on them.
Oh, that's fine. See, there you go. You're bulletproof.
There you go. There's not yet, but you just happened to say the right one. Thank you.
Go.
So can you remember any other bits from the last tour that you dropped?
From the last tour, I dropped... I mean... I tried to talk a bit about talking to. I went to a family party my dad's birthday, his 70th, so it was 8 years ago. And I wanted to put in this bit where I talk to people. I remember people talking to me and they get political with me just because I think they saw me as like some sort of liberal London.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like...
Is that because they'd seen you on news sort of shows as
no,
well?
No, this was before I was on it. They just saw me as like a young upstart. And they'd sort of start talking about one thing and then it would inevitably drift into other things, or they'd sort of start showing me all their angst about like misunderstandings about like refugees and things, and just sort of, and I sort of found myself trying to bat off, you know, like questions sort of about massive world events that are rooted in, well, in so many things, but also are based, you know, refugee, the status of refugees is kind of written into the Geneva Convention, which is like 70 years old now, maybe older. And so it is, you know, it's kind of like trying to deal with those massive topics in a light conversation that someone has just kind of read a few articles in the Daily Mail and gone, oh, I know how things are. And sort of seen me as the enemy because I'm...
So they're looking for an argument.
Yeah. But the complexity of writing all of that I found actually quite overwhelming. It was quite sort of difficult to distill, because I think so much of stand-up is about distillation, that you start off with a big thing and then you keep talking about it and then you wind it down. What is the truth? What is the actual... What is it that's being said here? What is the thing that is a truth for every, for as many people as possible, that is irrefutable, that unites us and eases the pressure, that allows us to laugh? But I could never do it without just being glib about it. I never felt it really answered that.
Yeah.
That complexity of trying to speak to somebody about a complex issue, you know, from a liberal perspective who doesn't want to get on board with it. It's because I guess sometimes I find this with various forms of writing. Sometimes you can go and try and write something that's big, but it's too big. It's too big for that. And I think stand-up, a lot of the time, it suits kind of shorter moments, I think.
Yeah, and like with your audience as well, I guess that plays a big part, because now you have audiences, because you're on lots of different things. You've got audiences coming from all over the place. So if you make a political statement, you might lose half of them.
Well, I never want to be preachy. Like, I wouldn't like to be preached at. You know, if I went to see a show, I wouldn't want someone to go, oh, and I'll tell you what's wrong with you. Or, you know, I know everything that's right, because no one knows anything that's right or wrong, really. You know, everybody's just... I think for me, stand-up is great at unifying people and actually bringing us together, because it's about sharing the moments where the insecurities, the human condition, the anxieties around that, that make us all the same. So I think it's better, I think, for the sake of comedy, for me anyway, for my shows, I like to make it about a celebration of what brings us all together and what makes us human and makes us. But maybe that's a portentous thing to say, Mark. I'm sorry, you're trying to have a lighthearted podcast and I start bloody wanking on about everything like a bloody, I don't know.
Well, it's the only chance it happens on here is if one of the guests does it.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything, mate.
Neither do I. I don't know anything at all.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Have you got any other little bits that you can remember?
Well, it's when I first started out, I never talked about being gay. I never really came out. And now people say, like, oh, he always goes on about being gay. And it's like, well, I never did. And then I thought, and then I started mentioning it like 2/3 of the way through. I was like, oh, by the way. And then I was like, actually, it is an issue for people. Like, it was, for it being a stand-up at the point when I started, especially, and then in the subsequent years, people needed that kind of hook of like, we need to know who you are. What are you? And so I would come out and I'd make that, and I'd try and spoof the fact that they needed to know it.
Do you think they were sort of thinking, why has he not told us?
I think so.
Or question it, is he? Isn't he?
Like, yeah, exactly. And I think as well, it gives people a bit of a shorthand in that one way or another, they can go, oh, okay, so he's, okay, I sort of have seen other people with his perspective. I wonder if you can sort of, then people know that you're coming from a slightly outsider perspective, perhaps.
And did that make much of a big difference to your gigs as soon as you started doing that? Like, did you see a bigger response for bits?
I remember doing a gig in South London and it was very rough. And I remember it was quite early on, but I remember I was trying to do my stuff and then there was a stag party and one of them, and half of them got up and one of them went, I'm not going to sit here listening to this poof. Come on, we'll go outside for a fag. And I was like, I was so nice. I mean, I was the last person who should have done stand-up, really. But because I was too impressionable.
You've done very well.
Too easy to be upset about things. Well, I suppose I thought actually maybe a lot of people are thinking that. So I need to own it and go, look, this is who I am. So get over it. Actually, I found in doing that and owning it, it did give me a certain sense of authority on stage.
Yes.
Because, I don't know, it sounds, and people go like, why do you need to go, well, we don't care, mate. But it's one of those things that actually...
Yeah, I guess for that guy saying that, if you hadn't mentioned it up to that point,
and I hadn't,
he had a lot more power with saying it because it was revealing something.
And I hadn't mentioned it, and I wasn't sort of really overtly talking about it because I assumed people would pick up on the nuance of, oh, actually, well, I'm sort of... And at that, I think I was so young, I was half out and half in, you know, I hadn't come out to my family and stuff. So it was kind of, it's weird. It was quite a different time. You know, we forget that 10, 15 years ago, it was quite a different time.
So were you doing stuff on stage before you came out about it on stage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And was it about that as a topic?
It was about, I was doing stuff about my life, but I realized people some people needed that framework. They needed the frame to go. I'd go like talk about working in a restaurant and doing the dessert trolley. And they'd be like, I don't get what this is. Like, I don't know who you are because you're being too nuanced about it. So I'd have to, so then when I started to go, I'm gay. So let's explore that for a moment. So you've all feel relaxed about that. And then I could talk about working the dessert trolley in a restaurant.
Have you noticed a difference, like, since you started to now with audiences around that topic? Like, are people a lot more chilled out about it now?
Yeah, they're a lot more chilled out. And I guess, you know, if they come to see them on tour, they know that anyway. So it's kind of
So you're playing to your audience. And,
Because I do get messages from people who go, actually, you just talking about it all the time means that it's okay for me to talk about it.
Oh, great, man. That's good.
So that's nice. I mean, maybe they're saying, like, look, I'm gay, but I'm not like him. And they go, oh, thank God. I don't know.
Well, either way.
Either way.
You're doing good.
Well, so are you. I feel like I'm going to do that stuff about washing lines now. Oh, it's going to be so good.
I can't wait. No. I mean, you've got all sorts of things you can go from there. Potted plants.
Yeah. Doing the garden.
Sheds. Yeah. You got anything about sheds?
Not yet.
Have you got a shed?
Dad has. It's a bloody mess. It's got a coffee table in there for some reason.
There you go.
There you go.
So much to explore.
Mum and Dad's storage. Yeah, that's probably a good idea, actually. Yeah. Yeah. They do store. They store crisps in the boiler cupboard.
Crisps.
Yeah. Why do they do that? I don't know. Is that funny or is that not good? I don't know if that's funny.
I don't know. Kettle crisps in the boiler.
I guess there's a bit. Yeah, there's a crossover there.
There you go.
Something, isn't it?
It's Tom Allen! Yeah! Woo! Hashtag Awooga Tom Allen. Thanks very much for being a guest. If you enjoyed the episode, good. Any feedback, at Jokes with Mark on all social medias. If you'd like to follow us on, support us on Patreon, it's at patreon.com/jokeswithmark, isn't it, Joel? Oh,
it is. Ooh, there's
also more bit of lockdown chat. Have you been watching any movies on lockdown, Joel?
I have, yeah.
Good. Have you ever looked at the options and thought, I just don't know what one to watch?
I would say we almost spend more time doing that than actually watching the film.
There we go. So guess what I've started doing to fill some more time? I've started doing movie reviews. But not just movie reviews, they're movie reviews in the form of jokes about the movies. And also, hopefully, maybe it will tell you whether you might want to watch one of these movies or not. And you can find those. They're Mark's Lockdown Movie Reviews. And you just find them. Go to my social media, at Jokes for Mark, and I post in one a day. There you go. Bit of fun.
That is a bit of fun.
Yeah. There you go. Lovely.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
Lovely stuff. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
No more from me, Joel. Hashtag Awooga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.